Today is August 24th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the federal debt's climb above $40 trillion and Treasury's emergency buyback doubling, incoming Fed Chair Kevin Warsh's first Jackson Hole keynote landing inside a divided policy committee, and the quiet rise of stablecoin issuers, Tether chief among them, as structural buyers of the very debt sovereign officials are now scrambling to manage. The headline number is stark. U.S. federal debt confirmed above $40 trillion this week, and the market's first reaction wasn't applause for a round number. It was a shove on the 30-year yield, which touched levels last seen in 2007 within 48 hours. Treasury Secretary Bessent didn't wait for a scheduled review window. He doubled long-duration bond buybacks from $2 billion to $4 billion per operation, an unscheduled intervention designed to absorb duration risk before it metastasized into a funding event. The broader fintech pattern here is one worth sitting with. When sovereign issuance outpaces natural demand, the state doesn't just borrow more. It starts actively managing the shape of the yield curve in real time. That matters for anyone underwriting duration risk right now. Banks holding available for sale and held to maturity portfolios are staring at the same mark-to-market exposure that broke regional banks back in 2023, except the debt stock behind it has quadrupled from the $10 trillion post-financial crisis baseline in roughly 15 years, with the most recent $10 trillion added in just about four. The federal deficit itself was revised from somewhere near $1.7 to $1.8 trillion, up to $2.1 trillion within a 10-day window, pushing debt toward 120% of GDP and trending toward 130%. Layer on M2 money growth running near 7.5% year over year, about 60% above what's considered the optimum quantity of money, and you get a persistent inflation signal sitting underneath everything else. Looking at the regulatory landscape, this is exactly the environment Kevin Warsh inherits. His first Jackson Hole keynote as incoming Fed chair lands August 28th, and he's walking into a committee that just held rates at 3.50 to 3.75% on a 9-3 vote, with dissents pulling in opposite directions depending on which set of minutes you read. Regional bank presidents, not governors, are the ones pushing for hikes, and two of them, Cleveland's Hammock and Minneapolis's Kashkari, have flagged AI data center capital expenditure itself as an inflationary force. Kashkari's point is the sharper one. Data center returns are now outpacing apartment building returns, which means capital that would otherwise flow into housing supply is being crowded out by compute infrastructure. That's a genuinely new variable in the rate-setting conversation, and Warsh will have to address it on day one. Meanwhile, credit stress is broadening underneath the headline debt figures. Small business bankruptcies are up 24% year over year. Personal bankruptcies up 50% versus pre-pandemic baselines, and 1.6 million full-time jobs have vanished since December 2024. Mortgage rates, sitting near 6.77 to 6.8%, a one-year high, are pushing new home affordability to 34% of household income, the worst reading since 2023. Here's where the fintech story gets structurally interesting. The dollar share of global reserves has fallen from just over 70% in the year 2000 down to under 60% today. That's the kind of slow bleed that used to worry central bankers about euro or renminbi encroachment. But the actual beneficiary isn't a rival currency, it's private stablecoin issuance. The Genius Act now requires stablecoin issuers to fully back their tokens with treasuries or high-quality money market instruments, and Tether alone is holding over $135 billion in U.S. treasuries. Put plainly, the same debt Bessent is scrambling to manage is being absorbed by privately issued digital dollars circulating outside the traditional banking system. The broader fintech pattern here is a bifurcation in how sovereign debt gets funded going forward. The EU and China are betting on central bank digital currencies and tokenized reserves, public money outcompeting private tokens. The U.S. is making the opposite bet, letting Genius Act-regulated stablecoins extend dollar reach through private balance sheets. It's a clever hedge against a shrinking reserve share, but it imports a lender of last resort gap we've seen before. When Circle held roughly one-third of USDC's reserves at Silicon Valley Bank in 2023, the peg broke until FDIC backstops stepped in. Scale that fragility up to Tether's current treasury holdings, and the systemic question isn't whether stablecoins can absorb sovereign debt. They clearly can. It's what happens to that debt absorption function during the next liquidity event. On the ground, mortgage and non-bank lending infrastructure is visibly consolidating under margin pressure. LoanDepot received a nice deficiency notice after its stock fell below $1, a roughly 93% decline from its IPO price near $14, even as its quarterly loss narrowed sharply and revenue climbed 18%. Two Harbors, all cash acquisition by CCM, closed at $12 a share, up from an initial $10.80 offer, creating a combined servicing book of roughly $361 billion in unpaid principal balance. And Fannie Mae posted $4 billion in quarterly net income, up 20%, while simultaneously cutting senior executives across capital markets and multifamily, as credit loss provisions jumped 75% quarter over quarter. Three different companies, three different outcomes, one shared signal. Origination and servicing economics are resetting structurally, not cyclically. FinTech Thesis Update. What changed today is the framing of who actually finances U.S. sovereign debt going forward.
It's no longer just foreign central banks and domestic pension funds. It's stablecoin issuers. Hedge fund basis trades now running at $8.5 trillion notional across roughly 50 funds, holding more treasuries than China, Japan, and Saudi Arabia combined, and increasingly leveraged private credit vehicles inside PE-owned insurers. That's a more fragile, more privatized funding base than the one Warsh is inheriting rhetoric about, and it's the backdrop his Jackson Hole debut needs to acknowledge directly. On the opportunity side, watch compute-backed securities and climate resilience insurtech. Both are early-stage structured finance categories where the risk modeling infrastructure is still being built, and the institutions that build it first will price the next cycle. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.